Sweet hour of prayer. good to be with you again. And those of you who are hearing me for the first time, or who I've met for the first time, or didn't get around to meeting, my name is Josh Parnell, and I'm from Arkansas, and I'm about 10 years older than I look. I don't know if it was mentioned or not, but the first time I was here was 10 years ago. I was 20 years old, and you think I look young now. I could pass for a middle schooler, and I know that I could pass for a middle schooler because I did once. That's another story, but it's good to be here, good to see you. If you can't tell from the songs that were led just a minute ago, we're going to be talking about prayer tonight. The early church, Acts chapter 2, verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. From the beginning, the church was supposed to be a people of prayer. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, you have this interesting thing where the first chapter is pretty much Paul laying out to Timothy what all the problems are at the church at Ephesus, where Timothy is. Paul lays out the problems in chapter 1, and in chapter 2 he starts telling Timothy what to do about it. And we know what he tells him in verse 1 of chapter 2. He says, "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people." So Paul tells Timothy, hey, before you do anything, first of all, let's be praying. And all four of these are really just different types of prayer, different words for prayer. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. It says, which just says prayers. I did a little study on this, and I think he's referring to prayers of praise. Prayers of praise to God. And that's one way we can pray, right? That's one of the things we do in our prayers. We take time to give glory to God and praise Him for who He is. Intercessions. You pray on behalf of other people. Have you ever done that? Ever prayed for your children? Ever prayed for your friends? Ever prayed for your preacher? For your brothers and sisters in Christ? For those who don't yet know Christ? It's a whole other lesson, but I think that one of the things that we are called to do is to pray on behalf of those who don't know Christ and aren't praying to Him themselves, or cannot pray to Him themselves. We should be making intercessions for all people. And thanksgivings, you know, we pray to God to tell Him thank you. Thank you for all the things that He has given us. But probably the one that is most familiar to you, and the one that comes to your mind first when you think of praying, is supplication. And supplication is asking God to supply you with things. You know, you're asking God for stuff. When we think of prayer, we think about asking God for stuff. I mean, what is a father for, right, if not to ask Him for something? And when you have a heavenly Father, you get to ask Him for all kinds of things, right? And Jesus told us, you know, ask and you shall receive. So of course we pray and we ask God for things. Problem is, sometimes we ask, we pray, and then we don't get what we asked for. Now, why is that? That's what I want to focus on tonight. Why is it that sometimes we ask God for things and He says no? Because sometimes He does say no, doesn't He? My little daughter, Joy, several of you got to meet last couple days. They had to go home today, but she's got me wrapped around her little finger, and she knows it. I mean, she is impossibly cute. She was wearing a shirt yesterday that said, "I melt my daddy's heart." A lot of truth on that shirt. And I remember one day she was asking me for a toy or something in the store. I did not have the money to buy it. And it wasn't really an appropriate time to be giving her a toy. You know, it wasn't a holiday or her birthday or anything like that. I wasn't planning to get it. So I had to tell her no, even though I really didn't want to. I had to tell her no, and she got a little pouty about it. And honestly, I probably would have gotten it for her, but I couldn't at the time. And so, y'all ever heard the Rolling Stones song, "You Can't Always Get What You Want"? I'm not a Rolling Stones fan, but I heard that one on the radio once, and it got stuck in my head. So, I picked up my pouty little girl, and I sang to her, "Joy, you can't always get what you want." You know what that little rascal did? She looked me right in the eye, waggled her finger, and sang back, "Oh, yes, I can." She came up with that all on her own. You know, sometimes as parents, grandparents, we want to give things to our children or our grandchildren that they ask for. But sometimes we're in a spot where we can't. You know, we can't give them what they're wanting. I mean, we can't afford it. We know it's just not a good time. But when it comes to asking God, God can do all things. Nothing is impossible with God. So whenever we pray to God and we're asking Him to give us something, and He says no, it's not because He can't. It's not because He can't afford it. Did you know there is a planet somewhere out there in outer space, 2.5 times the size of Earth, that is made out of solid diamond? Our God's wealthy. Oh, He can afford anything. And He can do anything. He can raise the dead. He can make bread fall from heaven. Our Lord can do whatever He sees fit to do. So if we pray to Him and He tells us no, there's something more going on. It's not that He can't afford it or that He can't get it done. There's something else behind it. So why? Why would our Heavenly Father, who loves us and provides for us and has told us over and over again throughout the scriptures to ask, to go to Him in prayer, why would He sometimes say no? There may be more than these in the scriptures, but so far I've found five. I've found five reasons in the scriptures why God might say no. If you find a sixth one, let me know so I can add it to this the next time I preach this sermon. One reason why God might say no, this one might be cheating a little bit, is because we never got around to asking in the first place. You ever seen the old movie The Karate Kid? And Mr. Miyagi, he swoops in to save Daniel from the bullies. And Daniel says, "You knew karate?" "Aye." "Well, how come you never said anything?" "You never asked." You ever wondered if maybe God isn't answering your prayers because you're not actually praying? James chapter 4, verse 2. "You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel." And then, "You do not have because you do not ask." How much time do we spend in prayer? How much time do we spend praying to God? You know, Jesus, when He was on this earth, would get away from the disciples, from the crowds, and go off onto the mountaintop, into the wilderness. He would go off into quiet places and pray. Be alone with the Father and pray. And if we are followers of Jesus, we should be wanting to do the same. I fear sometimes that in the church, when we think of prayer, we think of is how we open our service, how we close our service, how we bless the Lord's Supper, and how we kick off a ball game. But it is so much more than those. It is how you talk to God, the creator of all things, the king of all things. He's allowing you to come before him and speak to him as his child. Why in the world would we not want to do as much of that as we can? I was driving up and down the road today, and I turned on the radio. I was listening to a sports radio program, but I guess there weren't much sports going on today because they weren't talking about much sports. But they got to talking about the five things that people say they regret most in their life. I don't remember what number this was on the list, but one of them was not spending enough time with family. And I'm pretty sure all of us, we get to the end of our life, we look back, we're going to wish we'd spent more time with family. Even if we did spend plenty of time with family, we're going to wish we'd spent more, right? Are we going to get to the end of our lives and wish we'd spent more time with our Heavenly Father? You don't have because you don't ask. But then, the very next verse, James chapter 4, verse 3, he says, "You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions." It might be that the reason why God is saying no is because we are asking with the wrong motive, the bad motive. Is it possible to want good things for bad reasons? I believe that it is. In my home congregation in Monette, Arkansas, where I preach regularly, we average about 50 people attendance each Sunday. At one time, back in the 70s, the congregation was averaging around 200. Do we pray that our numbers will grow? Oh, of course we do. And would that be a good thing if our numbers were to grow? Oh, of course it would. That means more souls being brought to Christ, right? But what if the reason why I'm asking God to bring more people to our congregation is not so that more people will know the Lord and not so the family of God will grow, but so people will think that I must be a talented preacher if I'm making the church grow? And maybe someone at a bigger church will take notice and offer me a job that pays a whole lot better than the one I'm getting now. That's not a good motive. You can ask for good things with wrong motives. What about the members of my church? You know, the ones who aren't getting paid to do this. They could be praying that we grow, but it might be that in their hearts they're not so concerned about welcoming more brothers and sisters into the family of God as they are about being able to beat the Baptists and stuff. That's not a godly motive. And we may be asking for good things. We may be asking for health. We may be asking for a little extra money. We may be asking for a whole host of good things, but asking for the wrong reasons. And God sees through us, does he not? Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. He sees right through us. And if he knows that the reason we're asking for this thing is not a good reason, he's going to tell us no. A third reason why he might say no is because we doubt. We have a lack of faith. In James, the first chapter, verse 6, James writes, "But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." And I think that one makes sense to us, right? You shouldn't pray if you don't think that God's actually going to do anything about it anyway. We need to have faith when we pray. Unfortunately, I think this has become an excuse for some people. They say, well, if you prayed and didn't receive, it's because you didn't have enough faith. Well, that might be the case, but that's not always the case. There are other reasons. Another reason why we might pray and not get what we ask for is because, well, we're living disobediently. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 15, the Lord speaks through Isaiah and says to the people, "When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood." If we're living lives of disobedience, and then we turn around and go to God and ask for something, he might say no. And that just makes sense to you, right? I mean, if you've got a child or a grandchild, or if you at any time were a child, that should cover everybody here, right? You know, when a child has been just behaving terribly, disobeying all the rules, causing all kinds of trouble, treating their brothers and sisters terribly, back talking to their parents, not doing their chores, drawing on the walls, you know, just being a terrible, terrible child, and then they turn around and ask their parent for a toy or for something nice, is a parent going to feel like giving them what they're asking for? No. Would our Heavenly Father be different? No, he tells us not. He tells us so. "Your hands are full of blood. I will not listen." In the next verse, he says, "Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean." You want to come to the Lord with requests, the first thing you need to do is get your act together. There are other places in the Bible that have the same idea. Isaiah 59, verse 2, Proverbs 28, verse 9, and others. So these are four reasons why God might say no. Because we don't ask in the first place, because we have bad motives, because we have lack of faith, because we're being disobedient. And I think that as common sense people who have lived our own lives, we understand these four. These make sense. You don't deserve to get what you're asking for if you doubt. You don't deserve to get what you're asking for if you're being disobedient. You certainly don't deserve to get anything if you're not asking in the first place. And you don't deserve it if you're asking with wrong motives. We get that. That makes sense. But what about when you are praying and you're praying hard and you are asking for a good thing for a good reason? Your heart is pure. At least on this matter. And you have been as faithful to the Lord as you can be. No, you haven't been perfect, but you've been trying. And you've been confessing your sins when you commit them, and you've been trying to do better. And you believe it's not for doubt, it's not for lack of faith. You believe that God is one, you believe that God is strong, and you believe that God can answer the prayer that you're giving to him. All of these things are as they should be, and God still says no. What is going on then? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 7, the Apostle Paul writes, "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" Now here the Apostle Paul is praying. He prays three times. Okay, so he's praying. Does he have good motives? He just wants this thing removed from him. We don't know what the thorn in the flesh was. Some scholars speculate it might have been bad eyesight. Others think it might have been a rival who was harassing Paul. Others think it might have been some other kind of illness. We don't know. It's all just speculation. But whatever it was bothering him. It was hurting him, and he just wanted it gone. So 3 times he prayed to the Lord. And do you think we could accuse the Apostle Paul of having a lack of faith? That would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? When you look at all that the Apostle Paul endured for the cause of Christ, I don't think there's any doubt about the faith that the Apostle Paul had. For crying out loud, he wrote half the books in our New Testament. And was it because he was being disobedient? No. The Apostle Paul was being as faithful to the Lord as he could be. We can read in Acts, we can read in his letters, we can know the kind of behavior, the kind of life the Apostle Paul was living. God did not say no because he was disobedient. So why? The Lord's answer was, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." The Lord's answer was, "Paul, I'm not going to take this thing away because you need it. And you may not understand it. You may not feel like you need it. But my power is made perfect in weakness. It is through this weakness that you are suffering that my power will come to completion, come to perfection. My grace is sufficient for you. You already have what you need, Paul. There's a reason why this thorn in the flesh is there. And because I have a reason for it, I'm not going to take it away." Now that one stings a little bit, doesn't it? Sometimes we pray to God, we ask Him for something, we ask Him to take something away, we ask Him to give us something. And He says no, because He knows better. Sometimes my kids ask me for ice cream. Now, I like ice cream. The only thing better than eating ice cream is eating it with your kids. But when they ask me at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I say, "No, guys. It'll be supper time soon. You don't need to eat ice cream before you eat your dinner." And they might whine, cry, and pout a little bit, but you know it's not good for them. It's not time for them to have it yet. Or they ask for a dog, and we just don't have the space for a dog. Can't have a dog. They got adopted by a cat, though, so they're okay. We get that. But what about when you got a dear friend who's suffering from a horrible disease? And they were doing such good work before sickness weighed them down. And it just doesn't make sense why they're being taken away now. And why they're being taken away so slowly. It just doesn't make any sense. And you ask God to take that illness away. And He says no. You ask Him again and again, and still He says no. And finally, overcome with grief and desperation, you ask God to just end their life so they don't have to suffer anymore. And to that He says no. And that just doesn't make any sense. And we look all over trying to see the good in this that's coming about from this, but we can't, because we are overcome with hurt, with sorrow, and we can't see on the other side and say, we don't know why this is happening. Why isn't God listening to us? Four years ago, my daughter Joy, who I've already talked about a little bit, beautiful little girl who's got me wrapped around her little finger. 4 years ago, she was born. February 19th, 2015. And she was born at home because my wife hated the hospital where our son was born. Now, she was happier at home. My wife was. Okay. I was a wreck. I really liked having the doctors right there as opposed to being 30 minutes away. But, hey, I didn't get a vote on this. Okay, it was her call. But everything seemed to go fine. We had a beautiful little baby girl at about 5 in the afternoon. All seemed to be going well. And we had her for about an hour. And all of a sudden, she turned ash gray and stopped breathing. And you talk about scared. I was terrified. And praying hard. Well, the midwife got her breathing again. She kept testing her and she kept saying, something's not right. She's not breathing like she's supposed to be. You need to get her to the hospital. So we get her to the hospital. And they run every test they've got on that poor little thing. 7-pound newborn baby girl. They run every test they've got on her and they're not finding anything wrong. So about midnight that night, my wife is exhausted. She's asleep in a hospital bed. It's just me and the doctor and the little baby girl. And the doctor says to me, we're going to have to do a spinal tap. Because we've tried everything else. We can't find what's wrong with her. We're going to have to do a spinal tap. And he said, now, I got to be honest with you. This is really going to hurt her. She is going to be in a lot of pain. And I cannot do it without your permission. Well, I didn't want to put my little girl through pain. But I also knew that more important than her not being in pain in the moment was making sure there wasn't something horrible wrong with her that would cause more trouble later. So even though I didn't want to, I said, okay, go ahead and do it. Now if that were the end of the story, that'd be bad enough. That's not the end of the story. He performs the spinal tap and she's crying. She's in pain. And then he tells me, he said, I'm sorry, but I got blood mixed in with the spinal fluid. That'll mess up the test. We're going to have to do it again. Now, about that time, I'm about ready to say no. Because she's screaming in pain. And I don't want her to go through that again. But I know, as bad as I don't want her to be hurt, we got to run this test. So I tell him, okay, do it again. Second time, he didn't get enough fluid. So we had to do it a third time. And every time, he had to get my permission. All three times, he said, you have to tell me that it's okay before I do it. I can't do it without you saying it's all right. Thankfully, the third time was the last time. And today she's a happy, healthy little girl. You got a couple of little minor things with her heart and her ear, but nothing too serious. She's a happy, healthy little girl. I was reflecting on that time that I spent with her and the doctor that night. And I got just a little glimpse of what God must feel like when he sees his children going through pains and trials in this life. Because you see, my daughter, she's just a little infant. She doesn't understand what's going on. She doesn't know why she's being hurt. And as she's being hurt, she does the only thing she knows to do. She cries. Crying for her daddy to make this pain stop. And the really aggravating thing was, it wasn't that I didn't have the power to make it stop. I did. But I knew that we had to do it anyway. Well, we're the infants. Compared to God, we're the infants. We cannot see like he sees. We do not know what he knows. We are not yet at a spot where we can understand why things are happening the way they are. All that we know is that we're in pain. And in our pain, we cry out to our Father. We cry out to our Father who we know could stop it. So when he doesn't, and we know we're asking with good motives, we know that we have faith, and we know that we've been living as faithfully as we know how. And he still says no. That's when we have to trust that there's a reason behind this. And that our God, who can see like we can't see, and who knows what we don't know, is working this together for good. One of my favorite passages of Scripture, and one that's kept me going in tough times, is that verse, Romans 8:28, which says, "We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." It does not say that all things are good, because some things are downright horrible. But it does say that God works together all things for good. And when we cry out to him in pain, when we cry out to him in our prayers, and he answers us with a no, we can know it's not because he doesn't love us. It's because he loves us too much to stop our pain right now. I didn't tell that doctor to do another spinal tap because I was mad at my little girl. I told him to do it because I loved her and I wanted her to be taken care of. And though we may not understand, when God allows us to go through pain in this life, he's doing it for a reason. He's never let us down. He's never failed to keep his promises. So let's not doubt him now when times get tough. Let us trust him. Let us love him. And let us do the best we can where we are, knowing that he will work all things together, even the bad things, together for good.
Amen.
You know, one bad thing was the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet the Lord worked that together for the greatest good that the world has ever known. And through that sacrifice on Calvary's cross, through the victory and the resurrection 3 days later, God has purchased for us forgiveness of sins and the hope of eternal life. And he offers that to you. He offers that to all. He offers it right now. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and for whatever reason you have not yet confessed that belief, repented of your sins, and put him on in baptism for the forgiveness of your sins, what are you waiting for? I assume there's water back there. I haven't checked. Is there water back there? Okay, there's water back there. What hinders you from being baptized? I got a hunch, though, that most of you who are here tonight, if not all of you, have already done that. And to you, who are already my brothers and sisters, if you're going through pain, and you've been crying out to God with prayers of pain and anguish, I cannot tell you why he's answering the way he is. But I can pray alongside you. We can all pray with you and bear one another's burdens and encourage one another as the Bible instructs us to do. And it may be that there is sin in your life, that you have not been living as you should. Know that the Lord waits with arms open wide, and he is faithful to forgive us if we confess our sins. We would love to pray with you in that regard as well. So tonight, if we can help you in any of those ways, won't you please come forward and let us know as we stand and as we sing our invitation song.
Who will follow Jesus and be more the ride, holding up his banner in the thickest line, listening for his orders, ready to obey? Who will follow Jesus, serving him today? Who will follow
more sense of his care, more especially our brothers and sisters and those that may not be members of the church. We appreciate you being here and supporting us so much. It's a delight to have you. And at this time, we will close in prayer. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we are indeed thankful and grateful that we could be in this night. Father, to hear the words from your Bible that helps us in our lives, it comforts us. And Father, to see the importance of our prayers to you. But Father, we realize that there are many things in our lives that we cannot control. And Father, we always look to you for our help and our comfort. Help us to have the faith that we need to have, that you know what's best for us. And help us, Father, to be satisfied with the things that we have in this life, from the physical things and especially the spiritual things. And we know that you love us and care for us, and as we strive, Father, to do your will, that you'll be with us always. Father, we pray for those that are sick and not able to be here this night. We ask you, Father, to restore them to their normal walks in life. For shut-ins, Father, we ask you to comfort them. And Father, as we leave this place and go to our homes, help us always to strive to be more like your Son every day in our life. We ask you to watch over and care for us, as we know that you will. And Father, in our weaknesses, as we fail you and at times sin, we ask you to forgive us, that we might stand justified in your sight. Thank you so much for allowing us to have Josh to be here and teach us your word. And we pray for him. We pray for his family. Father, we pray for your church throughout the world that we are steadfast with the word. Help us, Father, to love each other.